Shalom, Saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you. Shalom. I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches Scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. I'm excited to inform you that Hebrew Roots University is open for admission. Please check out our newly designed innovative website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. We have kept our website design simple, making it easy to navigate to what really matters, and that is our degree courses. Please take a moment and peruse through the pages of our website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. When you're ready to take the first step on this exciting educational theological journey, simply click the Apply Now button and follow the instructions. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Got Questions section at the bottom of our website. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Shalom.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, shalom, saints. Greetings to all of you here. Those of you who are joining us online, we certainly appreciate you joining in with us. Today, we are continuing in the verse-by-verse study we started in Numbers. And tonight, we're here in Numbers chapter 26. We'll be looking at 65 verses in this chapter, and we'll be reading from some verses in some other chapters that is going to bring clarity or clarification to some of the statements that are made in this chapter. And so we certainly welcome all of you here with us. We ask and encourage you, those of you who are watching on our website, if you would please subscribe there on our website. If you're on the watch page, simply look at the link above the video screen on that page and you'll see where you can subscribe for updates on our website. If you're joining us on YouTube, then you can subscribe to our YouTube channel there and make sure you check out shorts and videos there on our YouTube channel. Also, if you're following us on Instagram, we certainly appreciate that. If you're not following us on Instagram, then please do so. We're posting reels up on Instagram, and they're showing also on Facebook. And so we encourage you to follow us on all of our social media networks or sites, and that includes Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and of course, those of you joining us on YouTube. So please subscribe and follow. While you're on Facebook, you can certainly like and share our videos, and there on YouTube, you can do as well. Give us a thumbs up if you appreciate the teaching in the video. And make sure you leave a comment there, because people who are checking us out on YouTube are interested in what others may have to say. And so we encourage you to leave some comments there on YouTube, even as you like and share our videos with others. We certainly appreciate that. At the end of today's teaching, we're going to give you an opportunity to ask questions, to receive prayer, and of course, to give. And so if questions come up during this teaching and you would like to get clarification on that question or get a question answered, then please check us out. Go to our website on the watch page and you'll see that. If, matter of fact, let me give you a heads up real quick. You can check this out on our website. If you would like to ask a question there, you can join there on live stream or on the watch page. And on that page, there should be a chat icon that comes up in the bottom right hand corner. If you click that chat icon, it'll open up and then you can log in. You can log in as a guest. You can just check out what's going on. And then you can make comments. You can chat with those who are on chat. You can make comments. You can also ask questions. And this is where we're taking questions from. So if you have a question from the teaching, then please go to the chat section there. While there, you'll see that right above the screen there, you can subscribe for announcements and inspiration and weekly updates. You can also register RSVP for our Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover for 2024. And so take advantage of those opportunities there on our website. And then our declaration, well, actually, we're going to do our vision here in just a moment. If I can get this to, there we go. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for your presence here in the midst of us. You said that where two or more gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst of us. And so we welcome your presence in this place today. We pray that you'll move among us and have your way. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear those things that you will reveal to us, those things that you will speak to us. Quicken our hearts and our minds and cause us, Father, to be in tune with what you're communicating to us. Give us the ability to comprehend those things that you reveal to us, those things that you speak to us. And then show us how to walk them out, how to apply them in our lives daily. And so we just honor you in this place today. We decree no weapons formed against us shall prosper. We desire your will to be done, for your kingdom to be established in us. And we ask, Father, that you just have your way in the midst of us. Be glorified in this place today, in us, in Yeshua's name. Amen. And so again, we're going to talk about wasted in the wilderness. Now, I use this word wasted in the wilderness because it's found in another place here in Numbers. And we're going to look at that in just a few moments, where the Almighty made a declaration concerning those who had been numbered because of their rebellion once the spies came from checking out and spying out the land of promise. Jehovah instructed Moses in this particular chapter, chapter 26. Last week in chapter 25, there were a number of individuals who died because of their whoredoms in
going after the women of Moab. And so the Moabites invited the children of Israel to come and to feast with them. And I think I might be having a battery issue. You guys check this battery for me. It seems to be going in and out. So if you can get me a couple of extra batteries, I might as well get this done before we get too far in this teaching. Don't want to lose anybody. Hopefully. They're new? Okay, I keep hearing me going in and out. So, no, if they're new, we're going to trust them. But if you can give me a couple of others just in case. And so in the previous chapter, what we found is that the children of Israel engaged in whoredoms. Not only did they engage in whoredoms, but they joined themselves to Baal Peor while they were engaging in whoredoms. And that particular day, 24,000 people died because of the plague. And so here in this chapter of Numbers, the tribe and families that were counted, including the Levites, is we're going to see drastically change, reflecting Jehovah's promise that he made over 38 years earlier concerning those that would be wasted in the wilderness. Now, just so you will follow along and understand, for those of you who may be new to what is called the patriarchy, the patriarchs were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And so you might hear people talk about praying, you know, to the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they are the patriarchs. Abraham, as you know, had 8 sons. First son he had was Ishmael. The second son he had was Isaac. And then after Sarah died, he married Keturah and had 6 other sons, for a total of 8 sons. Isaac had 2 sons, and that was Jacob and Esau, or Esau and Jacob. Now Jacob, father, changed his name to Israel. And when he changed his name to Israel, Israel had 12 sons. He had 12 sons by 4 women. He had 2 wives and 2 wives, handmaidens or concubines, which totaling 4 women and 12 sons. Now, if you remember, Joseph was sold into slavery. He was taken to Egypt, and while in Egypt, he was given the daughter of On, who was Asenath, and she gave Joseph 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Jacob had 12 sons, and one of his sons, Joseph, had 2 additional sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and these were adopted. So the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, or should I say the 14 tribes of Israel, were from the sons of Jacob. And then, of course, Jacob had a total of 14 sons after he adopted Ephraim and Manasseh. And so these were the patriarchy of Israel. They were the patriarchs of the tribes. Joseph nor Levi were given tribal land, as we're going to see as we continue in Numbers. And therefore, because of the omission of Joseph and Levi not receiving tribal land, some lists, when you look at the tribes of Israel, is going to include Joseph and Levi, while other lists is going to exclude them. And this is something of a controversy for some people when they look at the different lists and they see different names, then it can create for some confusion, which is why I'm trying to bring clarity to this now. In Revelation 7, you're going to see concerning the 12 tribes that were sealed of the 144,000, Dan and Ephraim is omitted, and Joseph and Levi is included. And so in that particular list, you're going to see a different set of names than you're going to see in the list that I'm going to read to you in this particular chapter. In this chapter, the list is going to include 14 or 13 tribes, and I say 14 or 13 because when we get to verse 28, we're going to see that Joseph is mentioned with his two sons. And so when you include Joseph and his two sons, that's a total of 14 tribes. The second census, in comparison to the first census, by numbers, shows a decrease or increase in each tribe. And at this particular point in Numbers chapter 26, we're looking at about 38 years from the time that the children of Israel had gone to spy out the land and return. The comparative numbers I'm using here in this chapter is going to reflect two things. One, it's going to show that Israel have an entirely new army from the army that was identified in Numbers chapter 1. Secondly, the number of those that had wasted in the wilderness. And when I say wasted in the wilderness, died. In other words, their carcasses, as Jehovah had declared, was going to fall. They would not enter into the land of promise. Numbers 14, verse 29 through 35 shows us where Jehovah made this statement. He says, "Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you." And this is in chapter number 14, and you'll see those that were numbered in chapter number 1. He said, "All those that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun." Now, just to make a point here, this verse, because of their murmuring and because of their rebellion, Jehovah made a promise that they would not enter into the promised land. Just as he is making declarations in the New Testament that those who do certain things according to the list Paul laid out and according to the things that Yeshua had clearly communicated, they would not inherit the kingdom. Those would not inherit the kingdom. And so it's Jehovah's kingdom. He decides who gets in and who does not. Verse 31, Numbers 14. "But your little ones, which you said should be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and do what? Bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." Now, this word we're going to see here in a moment is actually also consumed, as we're going to see in verse 35. It says, "After the number of days in which you suffered, which you searched the land, 40 days, each day for a year." So that's 40 years. So Father is making this declaration, and 40 years will go by, and none of the folks who were numbered in chapter 1 will be alive in chapter number 30 or 26, which we're going to see here. It says, "You shall bear your iniquities even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. I, Jehovah, have said, I will surely do it until all this evil congregation." Now notice what Jehovah called them. This is not Bailey calling them evil. This is Jehovah referring to the children of Israel at that point. He says, "You shall know my breach of promise. I, Jehovah, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation." that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness, they shall be wasted or consumed, and there they shall die. This word wasted, taman, it is to be complete, to be finished, to be at an end. It's used as consume 26 times, end 9 times, finished 4 times. Basically, what he's saying is that all of those individuals are going to die. They will not set foot in the promised land. And so Israel is going to have a new army, and this new army is about to be revealed in this chapter, because the old army from Numbers chapter 1 is now dead. They didn't die so much in a battle. They died at the hand of Jehovah based on the word that he had declared. Verse 1, Numbers 26. And it came to pass after the plague that Jehovah spoke unto Moses and unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saying, take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. Now, if every child was born healthy, there was no defects, no person born crippled, no person born in any manner, then that means that all of these who are numbered would be 20 years and old would be numbered. But notice what he says, all that are able to go to war, indicating that some may not be able to go to war for whatever reason. The first count was done in Numbers 1 by Moses and Aaron. The second count is done by Moses and Eleazar, Aaron's son. Why? Because Aaron has died. And so now, Israel's new army. Verse 3. And Moses and Eleazar, the priest, spoke with them in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, take the sum of the people, how old? From 20 years old and upward. Now, I make a point of this 20-year-old and upward, because when we get to the end of this chapter, we're going to see that Levi is counted, but he's counted, his tribe is counted from 1 month old and upward. So he says, take the sum of the people from 20 years old and upward, as Jehovah commanded Moses and the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt. The first tribe is counted is the tribe of Reuben, verse 5. Reuben, the eldest son of Israel, the children of Reuben, Hanok, of whom cometh the family of the Hanokites, of Palu, the family of the Paluites, of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Carmi, the family of the Carmites. These are the families of the Reubenites. And they that were numbered of them were 43,730. And the sons of Palu, Eliab, and the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram, that is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah when they strove against Jehovah. So there were some issues. There were some individuals who had an issue with something that was being done. Dathan and Abiram were part of this, and of course, they are numbered among the Reubenites as well as Korah. Dathan and Abiram were famous among the congregation, but they died in rebellion against Jehovah. So these were well-known individuals. Korah was able to talk them into siding with him to rebel against Moses and Aaron, and that was a huge mistake. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when that company died. What time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign Notwithstanding, the children of Korah did not die. Now, here's a good example of how the sons were not responsible for the sins of the father. Each person was responsible for their own sin. Korah rebelled against Jehovah, and he died. However, his children did not die. Now, what's interesting also is in this particular count, there's how many? 43,730. In Numbers chapter 1, when the Reubenites were counted, it was 20 years and up, able to go to war, it was 46,500. So what does that say? From the Reubenites, at this particular point, 46,500 of them had died. Their carcasses had fallen in the wilderness. Of course, more babies were born, and at this particular point, 43,730 men over the age of 20 or 20 years and upward were able to fight. From the tribe of Simeon. The sons of Simeon, after their families of Nemuel, the family of the Nemuelites, of Jamin, the family of the Jaminites, of Joachin or Joachin, the family of the Jachinites, Zerah, the family of the Zarites, of Shaul, the family of the Shaulites. These are the families of the Simeonites. How many? 22,200. Now, in the first census, there were 59,300, which says to us 59,300 Simeonites had died in the wilderness. The tribe of Gad, Numbers 26, verse 15. The children of Gad, after their families of Zephon, the family of the Zephonites, of Haggai, the family of the Haggites, of Shunai, the family of the Shunites, of Osni, the family of the Osnites, of Eri, the family of the Erites, of Arad, the family of the Arodites, of Areli, the family of the Aralites. These are the families of the children of Gad, according to those that were numbered of them. How many? 40,500. Now, interesting again, here in the first census, there was 45,650. These died in the wilderness of the tribe of Judah. And notice the number. I'm numbering these tribes as I go so that you can see the numbers that are going to be counted here. Of the tribe of Judah, the sons of Judah were Er and Onan. And Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. Now, Er and Onan did not die by natural death. Jehovah killed them. Er and Onan was killed by Jehovah because they were wicked, as revealed in Genesis 38. Beginning at verse 6, it says, "And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of Jehovah, and Jehovah slew him. And now Judah said unto Onan, go in unto your brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to your brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother." Now, notice in this particular situation, Onan is with his brother's wife, and they're having relationship. It is safe to conclude that this is a private encounter. The only people that are in this space is Onan and his brother's wife. But here's the thing. Onan knew that his brother that if he gave his brother his brother's wife a seed, it would not be his. So what did he do? He spilled his seed on the ground. Now, the thing that is interesting here, Jehovah saw him. Judah didn't see him. No one else saw him. Jehovah saw him. It displeased him. And what did he do? He killed him. What people think they do in private is not private. The enemy is watching, angels are watching, and Jehovah see what is going on in those private situations that people either are in private or hiding from other people. If folks are committing fornication, if folks are committing adultery, if folks are committing some other sin that no one else see, Jehovah saw, it displeased him, and he slew him. Back to Numbers 26. And the sons of Judah, after their families, were of Shelah, the family of the Shelonites, of Pharez, the family of the Pharsites, of Zerah, the family of the Zarhites. Now, this Pharez, you'll see in Matthew 1 and Luke 3, this is the genealogy that is going to come, that Yeshua is going to come through. And so Judah ends up having relationship with Tamar, his daughter-in-law. But that you can read about in Genesis. Verse 21. And the sons of Pharez, were of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Hamul, the family of the Hamulites. These are the families of Judah, according to those that were numbered of them, 76,500. And so we see this number, 76,500. And in the first census, there was 74,600 of the tribe of Judah that was 20 years old and older. These all died in the wilderness. Tribe of Issachar, number 5. Verse 23, of the sons of Issachar, after their families, of Tola, the family of the Tolaites, of Pua, the family of the Punites, of Jashub, the family of the Jashubites, of Shimron, the family of the Shimronites. These are the families of Issachar, according to those that were numbered of them, 84,300. And so we see that there are 64,300 Issachar of the tribe of Issachar, and in the first census, there was 54,400. So 54,400 died in the wilderness, and now the new army of Issachar has 64,300. Number 6, the tribe of Zebulun. Of the sons of Zebulun, after their families, of Sered, the family of the Sardites, of Elon, the family of the Elonites, of Jaleel, the family of the Jalolites. These are the families of the Zebulunites, according to those that were numbered of them, 84,500. So we see 60,500 in the second census. In the first census, there was 57,400, and of course, they all died. Number 7, and here, as I said in verse 28, you see Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim. What you don't see here, which is why I said 14 or 13, is we're going to see Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, counted, but Joseph is simply mentioned, but is not counted as a tribe. And so the sons of Joseph after their families were Manasseh and Ephraim. And what we see here in verse 29 of the sons of Manasseh, of Machir, the family of the Machirites, and Machir begat Gilead. Of Gilead came the family of the Gileadites. These are the sons of Gilead, of Jezer, the family of the Jezerites, of Helek, the family of the Helekites, and Asriel, the family of the Asrielites, and of Shechem, the family of the Shechemites, of Shemida, the family of the Shemidites, and of Hefer, the family of the Heferites. And Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, had no sons, but daughters. And the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Mahla and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Now, what's interesting here is Noah, in this particular case, is the name of a female. But this individual had no sons, and we'll read a little bit more about him and his daughters in the next chapter, because the daughters are going to end up with tribal land. These are the families of Manasseh, and those that were numbered of them, 52,700. In the first census, 32,200, and that is the number of those whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. Number 8, the tribe of Joseph's son, Ephraim. These are the sons of Ephraim, after their families, of Shethulah, the family of the Shethulahites, of Becher, the family of the Becherites, of Taan, the family of the Taanites, and these are the sons of Shuthelah, of Aaron, the family of the Aaronites. These are the families of the sons of Ephraim, according to those that were numbered of them, 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph after their families. And so the first or the second census, there was 32,500 that were 20 years and upward. But in the first census, there was 40,500. And of course, they all died in the wilderness. Number 9, the tribe of Benjamin. The sons of Benjamin, after their families, of Bela, the family of the Belaites, of Ashbel, the family of the Ashbelites, of Haram, the family of the Haramites, of Shufam, the family of the Shufamites, of Hufam, the family of the Hufamites. And the sons of Bela was Ard and Naaman, of Ard, the family of the Ardites, and of Naaman, the family of the Naamites. These are the sons of Benjamin after their families, and they that were numbered of them were 45,600. And so we see 45,600. Now, in the first census, there was how many? 35,400. All of these died in the wilderness. Their carcasses fell dead in the wilderness. And as we're going to see when we get to the end of this chapter, that Jehovah's words are going to prove true. He made some statements. He made a statement concerning these particular individuals. And when we get to the end of the chapter, we're going to see none of these individuals that were named in the first census was alive in the second census when they're about to go into the land. And then there is the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan, says verse 42, these are the sons of Dan after their families, of Shuham, the family of the Shuhamites. These are the families of Dan after their families. And let me stop here and just say again, because I know that sometimes when we go through these numbers of tribes and families and things of that nature, that it seems, okay, this is, I mean, what's the point in going through this? Why are we doing this again? And this is where we have to realize that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Jehovah. What we see is Jehovah made a statement concerning the rebellion of the children of Israel. And here, as he's having Moses now do this second census, what it exposes to us is Jehovah's breach of promise being fulfilled as he said it. And that's the important thing, is that we want to see what Jehovah says, and then we want to see what Jehovah do. And what he says he's going to do, he does it. The beauty of it is that if he makes a promise to us, then we now can claim it. We can lay claim to it. We can declare it. And if we walk in it in obedience to that which is associated with the promise, we will see the fulfillment of what Father has spoken. And that, brothers and sisters, is essential for our walk in relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so we see these are the families of Dan. All the families of the Shuhamites, according to those that were numbered of them, were 64,400. 64,400 in the second census. Those who were 20 years old and upward in the first census were 62,700. All of them died in the wilderness. And then number 11, the tribe of Asher, verse 44. Of the children of Asher, after their families of Jimnah, the family of the Jimnites of Jesu, the family of the Jesuites of Beriah, the family of the Beriahites of the sons of Beriah of Heber, the family of the Heberites of Machiel, the family of the Machielites, and the name of the daughter of Asher was Sarah. Now, what is showing here is that these tribal heads had sons, but in this particular verse, it mentions that Asher also had a daughter named Sarah. And that's all it says about her, is that he had a daughter named Sarah, and the name of the daughter of Asher was Sarah. Verse 47, these are the families of the sons of Asher, according to those that were numbered of them, who were 53,400. And so, this was 45,400. In the first census, that was 41,500 from the first census who had died. Number 12, the tribes of Naphtali. Verse 48, of the sons of Naphtali, or Naphtali as some would say, after their families of Jaziel, the family of the Jazolites of Guni, the family of the Gunites of Jeser, the family of the Jeserites of Shillim, the family of the Shillimites, these are the families of Naphtali, according to their families, and they that were numbered of them were 45,400. Now in the first census, that was 53,400, and they all died in the wilderness. These were the number. Now notice, Naphtali was number 12. And so we've counted 12 tribes, and then later we're going to see that the 13th tribe in this particular number is Levi. But we mentioned Joseph in relationship to Ephraim and Manasseh. And so that was a representative of three tribes, although we only counted two, which meant that this would be tribe number 13 and Levi would be tribe number 14. But since Joseph was not counted as a tribe, but counted as Ephraim and Manasseh, then Joseph was omitted as far as tribal land. There is no tribal land of Joseph. Verse 51, these were the numbered of the children of Israel, 600,000 and 1,730. Now, what's interesting here is that in the first census, there was 603,550 that were 20 years old and over. And from that first census, there was a promise that two, Joshua and Caleb, would not perish. So if we take that two from that number, you'll see that there was 605,548 military aged individuals who died in the wilderness because of their rebellion. And here's a chart that you can compare. We're going to make these available in the PowerPoint, so you will have this chart, and you'll see the difference between the first census in Numbers 1 and the second census here in Numbers chapter 26, and you can see the total there, and then you can just see the size of each tribe 20 years and older as far as their armies are concerned compared to the second census, and of course you can see the body or the number of those who died in the wilderness. Now, how they died, we're not exactly sure because it doesn't say. Some died, you know, were killed. I mean, we saw that Jehovah sent fire. He sent serpents. He opened up the ground. And so either they were additional people who died or they were also part of this particular number whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. Verse 52. Then Jehovah spoke unto Moses. Again, Jehovah's doing the speaking. Moses is doing the writing. Verse 53. He says, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. And so what we see here, because this is a critical piece, the number that we just mentioned, from Reuben all the way down to Naphtali, are the ones who are given tribal land. And you can see this on the chart. So you see the tribe of Reuben, the land of Reuben, the tribe of Simeon, the land of Simeon, the tribe of Gad, the land of Gad, the tribe of Judah, the land of Judah, the tribe of Issachar, the land of Issachar, the tribe of Ephraim, the land of Ephraim, the tribe of Manasseh, the land of Manasseh, the tribe of Benjamin, the land of Benjamin, the tribe of Dan, the land of Dan, the tribe of Asher, the land of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, the land of Naphtali. And what you don't see is you don't see Joseph and you don't see Levi in this list that is actually those who will receive tribal land. So you see 12 tribes in this list, two that are missing, and that is who? Joseph and Levi. So, unto these, the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To many, thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to few, thou shalt give the less inheritance. So, the land was divided by the number of the people that were counted. Now, the 20-year-old and older is not the total number of people counted. These were simply those that were old enough and able to go to war. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to the few thou shalt give the less inheritance. To everyone shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit. According to the lot, shall the possession thereof be divided between the many and the few. And then the tribe of Levi. Now, Levi was omitted in the tribal land. And these are, verse 57, they that were numbered of the Levites after their families, of Gershon, the family of the Gershonites, of Kohath, the family of the Kohathites, of Merari, the family of the Merarites. These are the families of the Levites, the family of the Libnites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Mahalites or the Malites, the family of the Mushites, the family of the Korathites, and Kohath begat Amram. And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, from her mother, bare to Levi in Egypt. So Jochebed, according to what is written here, was born in Egypt, and that is, of course, where Moses was born. And she bare unto Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Miriam, their sister. Sometimes it's easy to forget that Moses was a Levite. Now, Aaron and Miriam, we know, but sometimes it's a little, for some, to forget that he was from the tribe of Levi. And, of course, from the tribe of Levi, his brother Aaron is where the priesthood came through. But as we read, coming through Exodus and coming through Numbers, when the Almighty gave the instructions for the tabernacle, it was Moses the Levite who ordained his brother Aaron the Levite and Aaron's sons. It was Moses who sprinkled the blood. It was Moses who operated as a priest. Even though Aaron was the high priest, it was Moses who ordained Aaron to be the high priest. And so I hope we're good again. There we go. Let's make sure we're not mixing those old batteries with the new ones. So these are the families of the Levites. Verse 59, and the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed. And of course, we read Amram, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt, and she bare unto Amram, Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister. Verse 60. And unto Aaron was born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. So Aaron had four sons. But Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before Jehovah. Back in Leviticus chapter 10, and right after this is when the Almighty said to Moses to tell Aaron, you don't go into the holy place anytime you feel like it, but once a year. And then nobody should be in the tabernacle when he go in that once a year on the Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of the nation. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, it says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offer strange fire before Jehovah, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from Jehovah and devoured them, and they died before Jehovah. So they died is a nice way of saying Jehovah killed them. Now, I know some people may say, why you put an emphasis on the fact that Jehovah killed people? Because he's the same. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of vengeance. Did he not say, vengeance is mine, saith Jehovah, I will repay? He's a God of mercy. Oh, absolutely, he's a God of mercy. He's faithful. His mercy endures forever. He's a God of wrath. He's merciful, and yes, he's gracious. He's a God of grace. So the God of grace, the God of love, the God of mercy is also the God of vengeance, the God of wrath, and he will not allow the guilty to go unpunished. This is why it's important for people to repent of their sins. Unrepentant people will face the wrath of Jehovah, and you don't want to face the wrath of Jehovah. So Jehovah killed them. Verse 62. And those that were numbered of them were 23,000. And notice, here's where I emphasize. All males from a month old and upward. So remember what we said earlier. The children of Israel, the tribes of Israel that were inheriting lands, they were counted from 20 years old and upward, those who were able to go to war. The women weren't counted. Those who were under 20 weren't counted. So we don't necessarily know how many of them from each tribe up until this point. When it came down to the children of Israel and the tribe of Levi, they were counted from a month old and upward, and only the male. So the females were not counted. For they were not numbered among the children of Israel because there was no inheritance. And what it means, there was no inheritance given them. There was no land as a tribe. Now, they had land as individuals, but there was no tribal land called the land of Levi. Now, these things are important. Because today, when people think about Israel, they think Jews. When you think Jews, you don't have to think tribes. The idea of modern-day Judaism is to erase the idea of tribes from the mind of people, and therefore the land can be inhabited by anyone who claims they are a Jew, regardless to their identity as far as a tribe is concerned. Now, this is one of the reasons why I pointed out in Revelation that the 144,000 are going to be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, minus Dan, and there's another one. My mind is going blank. But Dan is not now numbered. Oh, and Ephraim, because he's counted as Joseph. So Levi don't get a tribal land, but the land is still assigned. See, and here's where it gets a little tricky. Because when people say, I stand with Israel, basically what they're saying is that they stand with the Jewish people. Because if you stand with Israel, then the question, do you stand with the 12 tribes or the 14 tribes of Israel, which are scattered abroad. Some of them are in the land of Israel. And so people are saying things without truly understanding what they're actually saying scripturally. When you begin to talk about standing with Israel, understand that Jehovah divided the land of Israel by tribes. All Israel are not Jewish or Jews, and all Jews are not Israelites as far as Hebrews are concerned. They can be Israeli. And what's really interesting to me, brothers and sisters, is that a person who can convert to Judaism based on rabbinical standards approved by Israel can make aliyah to the land of Israel, even though they're not born into or even grafted into, they simply converted into. And these things, I know they're troubling to the Almighty, which is why I point them out, so that those of us who stand on what is written is not taken in by those who are speaking things that are commonly accepted practices among Messianics and Jews, but may not be scripturally sound. And it's important for us to be scripturally sound, lest we drink the Kool-Aid and find ourselves becoming talking heads, not knowing what we're talking about. So, the Levites were not counted as far as an inheritance because there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel, meaning no tribal land, no land of Levi. So the Levites were counted from a month upward, but the tribes were counted by those able to go to war, 20 years old and upward. Verse 62. And those that were numbered of them were 23,000, all males, from a month old and upward. For they were not numbered among the children of Israel because there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel. And what we see is that in the first census, there was 22,000. 22,000. In the second census, there was 23,000. Now, how many of them that were killed or who died in the wilderness, the numbers are not reflective in this chapter. Verse 63. We're down to the last few verses. These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar, the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these there was not a man. So among those that were numbered, notice what it says here. But among these, there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron, the priest, numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For Jehovah had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, it's important for us because Jehovah had said that those 20 years old and upward would not enter the promised land except Caleb and Joshua. And now what he spoke about in chapter 14, based on those that were numbered in chapter 1, here in chapter 26, we see that Jehovah kept his promise, even when it come down to annihilating those who had rebelled against him. Jehovah's words were upheld by him. And I want to finish this off, and we'll go to one of the prophets, because, see, Jehovah is not watching over your words. He's watching over his words. And they will not return to him unfulfilled or void. This is what the prophet Isaiah says in closing. Chapter 55, verse 6. And this is where we should always leave any teaching that we come together and hear, anytime we read scripture, anytime, you know, we talk about him. We should always seek Jehovah while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And this reminds me of what Yeshua said in Matthew 6, 33, where it says, seek first. We seek first. In everything, we should put Jehovah first. I can't tell you how critical that is, because if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves being people who just give him lip service. We'll say we love him. We say we put him first. But when we look at our ways, when we look at what we do, when you think about, I was talking to a brother last night, and you know, we were having conversation about the Sabbath. We were talking about tithing, first fruits and offerings. Mentioned, you know, the feast, and how, you know, if we really talk about our love for Jehovah, then our love for Jehovah is going to manifest itself in our obedience to his commandments. And in obeying his commandments, we have to be consistent. We can't be hitting and missing. And in the conversation, we talked about sports, and he mentioned that, you know, there was this Hebrew Israelite who coaching a team and playing these people on the Sabbath. And after I hung up from him, you know, after we talked, I just began to think about how people can make a habit of violating his scripture without thinking about the consequences that comes with that violation. I've talked to fathers and parents, and just earlier this week, this thought came to me. And the thought was that parents who engage their children in sports at a young age are training them to violate the Sabbath when they grow up. Why? Because most sports, when families engage their children in sports and these children become good at it, let's say they like the basketball, let's say they like the football, let's say they like whatever sports they are engaged in, and then these sports have leagues, and then these leagues are able to try out for any professional, whether it be Olympics. They can train and go to the Olympics. They can train and become a professional. And you and I both know, we all know, that most sports happen when? On the Sabbath. Whether it be Friday or Saturday. And so when parents engage their children in sports, and these children like sports, and they become part of a team, these teams are going to require them to practice and to play on Friday nights, on Saturdays, because these are typically when the tournaments take place. And how are you going to engage your child in sports and then tell them you can't play because it's the Sabbath? Now, there are some parents who are stickler and strong, and they train their children, and their children understand it and avoid it. But if those children decide that they're going to go into any profession professionally in those sports, when they get of age and they make their own decisions, And people are trying to recruit them, and they make a decision. How are you going to go into professional sports when those games are on Friday and Saturdays, and they sign contracts? People who engage their children in sports, I'm telling you, you're setting them up to violate Jehovah's Sabbath. And I know that's not your intent. That's not your plan. But you think about the end game, the long term, and where is it going to go? Because that's exactly where it typically go. And if you start them on that track, that's typically where they're going to end up. And yes, it would be partially your fault. Now, yes, they'll make their own decision, but who started them down that road? Think about that. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and return not thither, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And with that, we come to the end of this portion of Numbers. Father, we just thank you for this word, for these teachings, for the examples that you give us, just for the knowledge and for the understanding that you make available to us. Show us how to apply even this portion of Numbers into our walk, into our lives, as we reflect and remember on the things that you spoke and the things that you did. We thank you that your word, you watch over it. We thank you that when you speak, especially as you speak into us, and that we walk in what you speak, Father, that you're going to uphold your word in us and uphold us who stand, trust, and operate accordingly. Be glorified in us, in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right, well, with that, we're going to open up. Any comments? Any questions? While you are thinking about that, I'm going to share with you the 25th day of the 8th biblical month starts at sunset. This means that the 9th biblical month starts in 4 or 5 days, because each biblical month is only 29 or 30 days. Oh, this is dealing with the biblical month. Okay, not tonight. So we're not looking at tonight, but we're on the 25th day, and so we can anticipate that here in a few days that we're going to be moving into the 9th biblical month. We encourage you to sign up. Those of you who have not downloaded the app, you can download the app on our website, or you can go to it on your phone and just simply look for the Arthur Bailey Ministry app in your app section on your phone. Also, remember, we've got those video podcasts, short videos included. And if you simply go to the listen portion of our website. Matter of fact, let's just walk through that as we go. So if you go to the listen, you'll see a drop down, and there's the video podcast. If you go to the listen portion of the website, and that drop down, you'll see podcasts, you'll see video podcasts, and all of the podcasts, video podcasts, are on that page. And so when you subscribe, however, or when you go to our website to subscribe on the live stream or the watch page, just make sure you check out those video podcasts, and you can share them with other individuals. Now, tomorrow night, our Friday Sabbath premiere, we're going to be on teaching the second part of the relationship series. There's a two-part series. We taught part one last week, and then part two will be tomorrow. And then, of course, on Sabbath, we're going to be in Mark chapter 10, looking at verse 32 through 52, and the teaching going up to Jerusalem. We'll also encourage you to take advantage of these DVDs and books that we have in our bookstore. Simply go to the bookstore there on the website and you'll be in. And of course, as always, we encourage you to support our ministry. You can pray for our ministry. There are opportunities to volunteer. If your job gives you opportunities to volunteer, I know that there's many individuals whose jobs has given them opportunity to volunteer in a nonprofit. And they actually got paid while they were here. Got paid by their job while they were here volunteering, serving in the ministry. And so we encourage you, however you can help out, whether you volunteer, whether you pray for us, whether you support us, all that you do for us is very vitally important, and we certainly appreciate it. So we're going to give you an opportunity to give. We got a question, comment.
We do have one comment from Akbaré. Shalom, teacher and HOI family.
Shalom.
I just wanted to share that you shared that wisdom a few years back, hence why I pulled my boys out of basketball and football. Amen. Now Aaron is in cybersecurity and his younger brother is finishing high school. They thank me for putting my foot down. And in return, we all kept Sabbath on Saturday rather than sports events, etc. They are truly grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle.
Amen. I know that there was a time back in especially in Black communities, where individuals saw hopelessness when they looked, you know, as a Black person, and oftentimes different people of color, depending on the status, especially minority status, looking beyond high school into the broader community, you just don't see the kind of opportunities that there are for other people. And so many among the Black community and Hispanic communities see football and basketball and baseball and soccer as avenues of getting out and making a lot of money. And of course, with that comes all of the trappings that is associated with that. And then, of course, you know, even going into the military, because as a military veteran, you know, your life is owned. Whatever you engage in, if it's sports, whether it be in military, you know, you are owned by, you become the possession of that sport. And in the military, you become the property of Uncle Sam. And so I've had several of my brethren who are in military. And, you know, when you begin to talk about being faithful to Jehovah and keeping the feast and the keeping the Sabbath, military don't care nothing about that. They just don't care. And when you're playing sports and the team says, you know, we need you, then if you can't be here, then you need to quit the team. And so, you know, there has to be other ways that people can honor the Almighty without violating him and pursuing lucrative careers and service to him. And I know some people get a little bothered when I say things like this, but I'm only looking out for your best interests. I know, you know, even when I was in the Sunday church, we held Sunday as the day of worship. And when sports was on Sunday, it's like, no, you can't play. And then when we turn to the Sabbath, it's like, no, you certainly can't play. And children can get a little bothered with parents for that. So I'm thankful that your children, thank you. I'm sure at first they probably got a little bothered, got a little angry. But then they see the wisdom of being parents. And this is why the Almighty says, children, honor your parents. Obey your parents. They're only looking out for you. But there are people, brothers and sisters, who can actually begin to be comfortable violating the commandments. Like this fella says, you know, I know it's the Sabbath, but, you know, it's like, ain't no but. If you say you are a Torah-observing people and you are violating the Sabbath and you're making a habit of it, then that becomes okay to you. And the question is that are you Torah-observant? Because there are many people who claim to be Torah-observant and they're just liars. They're lying to themselves. Don't be that person. Don't make a habit. Don't be okay not celebrating the feast. Don't be okay doing things on the Sabbath that you know Father may have an issue with. Don't be okay with that. Because if you're seeking him first, his kingdom and his righteousness, and you know that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, how do you expect him to reward you when you are secretly in your heart and in your mind purposely violating his commandments and then making a habit of it? Come on, brothers and sisters. Don't be foolish. Amen. If there are no other questions, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give. Father, we just thank you for those who support this ministry. We pray your blessings upon them. Let none lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary, cause the windows of heaven to be open, blessings in abundance poured out upon them in so such a manner they have not enough room to store it all. Bless your people. Cause us to be a blessing, to walk in blessings, to manifest blessings. In Yeshua's name, amen. For those of you who would like to support us on our website, if you go to the donate page, you can simply make a contribution there on the donate page. There are ways that you can give, and you'll see that in the first box, ways that you can support the ministry so that 100% of your tithe and offerings and donations without having to pay any processing or transaction fees through bill pay, Zelle, Cash App, Venmo, check or money order. And of course, if you don't mind those fees, you can always use this link for PayPal us there and donate through PayPal. You can wire funds to our ministry. You can call your donations in. You can text if you're in Canada. You can use the Canadian donation link. And down there are ways to give, but we also encourage you, even in those ways to give, that you give through those ways in which 100% of your contribution reach us. If there are no other comments, questions, no prayers, then we're going to pray anyway and call it a night. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and your mercies. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your plan, for your promises, for your provisions. We thank you for your protection. Thank you for your healing, your deliverance, for salvation. We thank you for everything that you do for us. And help us, Father, to just purpose in our heart and then become doers of what we know your word tells us to do. Let us not be a people who honor you with our lips, but in our hearts and in our actions, we do something else. Cause us to be one with you in all of our ways, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. Be glorified in us and in our families. And show us how to shore up those areas where we've been slacking. Bring up those areas where we've been lacking. And those things, Father, where we've compromised. We don't want to be people who compromise with you. We want to be people who serve you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our being, with all of our might in every aspect of our being. We want to serve you. Be glorified in us, in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. And now your blessing, receive it. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. All right, well, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining in with us today. It's always a pleasure having you with us. Remember, we will be our Sabbath premiere tomorrow at 8 o'clock. You can join in there on our website. And, of course, see you join in with us on Sabbath live at 11 a.m. for our Sabbath Holy Convocation. Until then, until Shabbat, Shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.